Don't give pagans more credit than they deserve. Now let's talk about it on this edition of Sea Life. That's the Foghorn Boys of Zebra. And this is Sea Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open into the book of Daniel as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And incidentally, if you're listening from jail or prison, we have this dynamite Bible Institute program for you, and it's free. I'm going to give some phone numbers and addresses at the end of the broadcast, so have a pencil ready, and you might want to let us know. We'll get the process started, get an application to you, and trust me on this, you're going to absolutely love it. It's for people in jail or prison. You say, well, I ought to be, but I'm not. It doesn't count. You've got to be there. And if you'll let us know and ask for the Crossroads Bible Institute material, we'll send it to you. All right. We're studying the book of Daniel. And if you were listening yesterday, we talked about some dates and stuff of the book of Daniel. Then we saw that Ezekiel refers to Daniel a couple of times in the book of Ezekiel. So they knew of each other, and they may even have been friends. When young life, the team, the ministry to teenagers. You know, the Bible says that if you're a minister to teenagers and you die while you're doing it, you get to heaven by works. They don't even ask about Jesus or about grace. I mean, they just say, you did what? And they let you in, man. It's a joke. Don't write letters. I know that we're saved by faith in Christ alone. But if you work with teenagers, you get some extra crowns. At any rate, when Young Life started their first ministry in New England, they sent one guy, and he was a friend of mine, and he failed. The next time they started a ministry in New England, they sent a group, and God honored it in a wonderful way. We do need each other, and I suspect that Ezekiel needed Daniel, and Daniel needed Ezekiel. Now, the book of Daniel is a reflection of what was happening to God's people in exile. That exile is referred to in the Bible as the times of the Gentiles, and it continues in its latter stages up to even today, in some sense, but we'll talk about that later. Should be noted that the time of exile in Babylon was a time of high messianic expectation. The thoughts of the people, and this always happens when God's people get into trouble, turn to the future. They turn to the time when God's going to clean up the mess, particularly in the book of Daniel when God would restore his people. Daniel, undergirded by the Holy Spirit, reflected this desire on the part of God's people and also reflected what God thought about the whole matter. Now, the book of Daniel is, in places, highly symbolic and must be dealt with very carefully with your interpretation. Let me let you in on a secret. There are some people who say that they understand completely what Daniel's all about. Trust me on this. Don't buy a used car from anybody who says that. As a matter of fact, some of Daniel is quite obscure. The symbolism is very difficult, and nobody understands it completely. In general, if you find two people who say, I got it, I understand it, I know, you can ask me, and you compare their views, those views will be entirely different. So as we go through the book of Daniel, I'm going to give you some different interpretations, sort of a smorgasbord that have been given by those who interpret the book of Daniel. But nothing that I say is chiseled in concrete when we get beyond the sixth chapter. Now, I guess a good way to organize Daniel would be around the Kings, chapter 1 through 6, Daniel's career from Nebuchadnezzar to Cyrus, and then chapter 7 through 12, Daniel's career under Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus, or you could do it historical narration, chapters 1 through 6, prophetic revelation, chapters 7 through 12. Now, we certainly could do a far more detailed outline than that, but let that be sufficient. The shorter, the better, and the better you can remember it. Now, The book of Daniel has been the subject of a whole lot of controversy. Some of that controversy has to do with the authority of Scripture. Some of it doesn't. Some of the controversy has been between Bible-believing Christians who accepted the Bible but disagreed about it. Now, let me talk to you about a couple of the controversies. First, I want to show you about the controversy concerning the date of Daniel and the people who simply are not willing to accept what Daniel says about itself being written around the time of the events described in the book of Daniel. Now, there may be some believers in that bunch, but not many. If they're believers, they're certainly not red-hot ones, and they're wrong about almost everything about except maybe being saved. And then there's some pagans who just make fun of Christians because of what we believe. Now, the problem is that the pagans have a bigger PR machine than they have a reality machine. We Christians always think that pagans are so very sophisticated, so very smart, so very together, have read so many books, and they will eat our lunch, and so we keep quiet about our faith. Let me tell you something, that's just not true. That's a paper monster. It's sort of like in The Wizard of Oz. Somebody's manipulating the controls, and they look big, but it's this little old person who can't do much. If you're a Christian, you have truth on your side. If you're a Christian, you don't have to be afraid of anything. If you're a believer and you believe what the Bible says, you can stand up with great scholarship on your side. And trust me, I spent a lot of my life debating pagans and atheists. And generally, the most difficult thing that I had to do in dealing with them was to keep from saying, because it wouldn't be a Christian thing to say, to keep from saying, "You've got to be kidding. I can't believe that anybody with the brains that would fit in a peanut would say something as dumb as what you just said." Oh, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that, or at least not very much. But it's not because I'm so smart. It's just because what I believe is true. Now, up until the 3rd century, it was just assumed that the book of Daniel, what it said about itself, was true, that it was written during the exile by a man by the name of Daniel. But in the 3rd or 4th century, people began to say, that's simply not true. One man made a vigorous defense of his views against Christianity. His name was Porphyry, just in case you want to know. And he said that the book of Daniel was written by a Jew who lived during the time of the Maccabees in 165 B.C. Now, it should be no surprise that an unbeliever should deny the veracity of the book of Daniel. But by the 18th and 19th century, people who claimed to be Christians were also holding the views that were once held only by unbelievers. All right. There are a number of reasons why the exile date of Daniel is denied, and then there is one main reason. Let me give you some of the minor reasons. And those who deny the accepted date of Daniel have said that the use of the term Chaldean betrays a later date than the 6th century. Some said that the use of the term Chaldean did not occur until much later in Daniel. However, recent scholarship has shown that in 440 B.C., many were speaking of the Chaldeans, and a lot of the historians used that term as if the term had been around a very long time. It's been said by those who dealt the historical accepted date of Daniel that the reference to Daniel's being admitted into the Babylonian priesthood, that's in Daniel 2:48 and 49, would never have been permitted by the Babylonian priests, nor would have been allowed by Daniel himself. Now, this is a good example of simply trying to find straws to bolster a particular viewpoint. As a matter of fact, Daniel never suggests that he was admitted to the Babylonian priesthood, only that he ruled and had authority over it. Another thing, it's been said that there's historical inaccuracies in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's madness, for instance, is not found in any extra-biblical sources, and therefore it must be inaccurate. But as a matter of fact, there are references to this madness. Eusebius, quoting an ancient writer, says in the last days of Nebuchadnezzar, he was wacko. Further, Qumran has shed some considerable light on this time of madness and the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Some said that Daniel could not have written the book of Daniel because the Aramaic language, which is a part of the book, belongs to a time after that of Daniel. That's silly. It's obvious that the book of Daniel, over hundreds of years, would go through much translation. There was a time when those who could not accept the Bible laughed at the references in Daniel to Belshazzar. However, recent archaeological evidence has revealed that he was a real person, lived in a real time, and was a real ruler. And I could go on and on and on. But the main reason is just outright unbelief. People say, I don't believe. I'm going to find some reasons for not believing. Why do they do that? It's a smoke screen. Because, listen to me about this. If there's no God, or at least no God as the one in the Bible, then you're autonomous. And you can do whatever you want. Yeah, think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you don't have the summer magazine, I'd love to get it to you. It centers around grace, freedom, and holiness. I wrote an article called The Law, Surprise, God's Gateway to Freedom. And there's a wonderful piece by Brian Chappell, The Power of Joy. There is a question and answer column. My itinerary's there. A lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And it's free. Just let us know. We'll send it to you. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. And as I said, it's free as long as supplies last. That does not mean, however, that this isn't an expensive ministry and I need your help. A very small percentage of people who are ministered to by Key Life are able to help us financially. And if you could be a champion, you'd help so many people. You can charge a gift on your MasterCard Visa Discover card included in your envelope. And for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send you a cassette teaching the depth of God's love for you. Facets of God's love. Hey, I gotta go. But first, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.